Hell Yes Life, episode 35. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell, and I am excited to be here. I hope you are too. This is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday and sporadically on Thursdays and Fridays. Now, Hell Yes Lifers, I have a couple of special announcements to start things off with. The first is this. I want to hear from you, Hell Yes Lifers, and I've created a survey that takes about 5 minutes to complete and asks you some questions about the challenges you're facing, what topics you're most interested in, and more. Anyone who completes the survey will be entered into a special contest where three winners will be picked to receive 1 month of free coaching from yours truly, Hell Yes Life podcast host Norman Bell. To take the survey and be entered into the contest, please visit hellyeslife.com/survey. That's /survey, S-U-R-V-E-Y. Also, one of the services I'm excited about looking into offering is a mastermind group. Now, if you don't know what a mastermind group is, it's an idea that was popularized by author Napoleon Hill, who wrote the motivational classic Think and Grow Rich. And he defines it as a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. Now, mastermind groups, my perception is they've become more popular in recent years. I know Pat Flynn of the Smart Passive Income podcast says, you know, you need a mastermind group to succeed. So I'm wanting to try this out as a potential offering. So I've got kind of a beta version of a mastermind going here. And I'm looking for three awesome Hell Yes Lifers who want to form a free online mastermind group for 3 months, likely starting in September. Now, in the group, we will be looking to identify our Hell Yeses, clarify our cringeworthy visions, set up our Hell Yes days for maximum productivity, and take massive action towards living our Hell Yes lives and developing our Hell Yes businesses. If you're interested in participating, please visit hellyeslife.com/mastermind, and you'll be asked to answer a few questions about why you think you're a good candidate for the group. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Sarah Williams. Sarah is the host of the Tough Girl podcast. After working in finance for 8 years, Sarah quit her job and spent 18 months traveling the world, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, backpacking around South America, and going skiing. She used this time to help her decide what she wanted to do with her life, and not long after, she launched the Tough Girl podcast. Sarah says the mission of the podcast is to motivate and inspire women and girls. On the show, Sarah has interviewed elite athletes who are training for the next Olympics, Arctic explorers, cross-channel swimmers, ultra-endurance athletes, as well as everyday women who have overcome extraordinary challenges. Sarah is definitely an adventurer herself. In 2016, she was mentioned by the Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom as one of the top 10 inspiring contemporary female adventurers. Also in 2016, she ran the absolutely insane Marathon de Sable, a 6-day, 156-mile ultra marathon, which is approximately the distance of 6 regular marathons. And right now, as we speak, Sarah is in the midst of her latest personal Tough Girl challenge, hiking the Appalachian Trail, which is over 2,100 miles long, and she's looking to do this in 100 days. Insane, Sarah, but good for you. On the show, we talked about Sarah's journey from a career in finance to a lifestyle of adventure. We also talk about how and why she decided to start the Tough Girl podcast, as well as what it means to be a tough girl. You'll also hear a firsthand account of what it's like to be on the starting line of the Marathon de Sable in the Sahara Desert, and you'll also find out what song they play right before the gun goes off to start the race. If you're looking for some awe-inspiring adventure stories and amazing insights, then you are in the right place, Hell Yes Lifers. Let's dive into my conversation with Sarah Williams. Sarah Williams, welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. Are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
Hell yes.
All right. Thanks for being here, Sarah. I'm really excited. I was taking a look at your website and your podcast. I'm really excited to have you here and have you share some of your stories with us. But I always like to start off by asking the question, what is your hell yes? And by that, I mean, what is your passion, the thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive?
For me, it's actually all about motivating and inspiring women and girls and increasing the amount of female role models in the media. That is what motivates me. That's what inspires me. And to be honest, it's when I produce this content, I know it's making a real difference in people's lives. When they email me, they contact me, they talk to me, and they tell me, you know, what changes that they've implemented and how it has completely changed the direction of their life. Like, that for me is just incredible.
Awesome. Awesome. And I can hear the passion in your voice as you're saying that. And I just wanted to note also, I have a 7-year-old daughter. And so I'm, you know, really impressed with what you're doing and love, you know, the idea of connecting her with people like yourself and the people you interview on your show to, you know, show her that, hey, there's tough girls out there. There's, you know, amazing women doing amazing things out there. So thank you for doing what you do.
Oh no, that's brilliant. I'm glad you're so open to it as well, which is great. It's so good for your daughter.
Absolutely. So let's take a step back in relation to that question. When did you realize that this was your hell yes?
To be honest, it actually took me quite a while to sort of realize it. And what happened was I was going into lots of local schools, talking to young girls about challenge and change and sharing some of my different adventures, you know, some of my traveling and climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and backpacking around South America. And I wanted to motivate them and inspire them, you know, to think bigger and to raise their aspirations about what they could do. And I was talking to some of the younger girls about, you know, their plans for their future and their ambitions for their life. And one of the conversations, or quite a few of the conversations I ended up having with these young girls, where they were telling me that they basically wanted to grow up and to be a WAG, which in the UK is the wife and girlfriend of a footballer. So it'd be the equivalent of, you know, marrying like an NFL star and just shopping all the time and looking pretty. And that was their only goal in life. And to be honest, it got me really upset. And I remember coming home after giving these talks, and I just sat at home and I was like flicking through the paper, and I for some reason on the sports section, and I just looked through all the pages, and I don't think there was no women in there at all. There was no women mentioned. There was no female writers. And it just dawned on me. I was like, hold on, where are all the female role models? Why don't we get to hear about female adventurers, female explorers, you know, athletes and everyday women who've overcome these great challenges? And we're doing this incredible disservice to our young women and also our young boys growing up without female role models. And I could have sat back and I could have complained about it and said, you know, well, it's not fair. Women don't get the representation. It's not fair about how they're portrayed in the media and so on and so forth. But I thought, that's not going to change anything complaining about it. How can I make real change? And for me, starting the Tough Girl podcast was my way of giving back and creating almost this ripple effect. So I've now interviewed over 100 women and shared their story, and the podcast goes out and is listened to in 170 countries around the world. It's been downloaded now over 300,000 times. And it does cause this ripple effect where girls and women think, well, if she can do it, why can't I do it? And then they go out and they do it, and they encourage their friends and their family to go and try new things and to challenge themselves.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And especially, you know, as a, I kind of became a bit, let's say, more of a feminist when my daughter was born, and started to notice, maybe in a way that I hadn't before, that, hey, wait a second, you know, there's more to life than just being a princess or something like that. And really started to try to find those kind of empowering role models for my daughter. So, you know, again, thanks for doing what you do. Let's back up a little bit. So you said that you this started to dawn on you as you were going around to schools and talking about your adventures. But let's go back a little bit. I think on your website, you were talking about how you had worked in finance for 8 years, and then you decided to quit your job and started traveling around the world. So let's go back to that time in your life. tell us about, you know, what you were doing and what led you to this decision.
Well, I don't think I ever really thought about my life. I went through the motions. I went to school. I got my grades. I went to university. My friends were getting graduate jobs down in London. I moved down to London with all my friends. I started working for a big global bank, and I started, you know, I was ambitious. I was driven. I was very money motivated. I started getting promoted and, you know, moving my career forward. But I did it for about 8 years, and it got to the point where I realized that I wasn't happy. I wasn't me anymore. I wasn't living my life. And I actually spent more time planning my holidays than I did actually planning my life. And I got to a point where I thought, I'm 32 years old. Do I want to continue doing this for the next 20 or 30 years? You know, sat behind a desk working 15, 16 hour days and, you know, moving up the career ladder. And I decided that no, it wasn't for me. I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So in March 2013, I ended up leaving my job. And to be honest, I was very lost for this 18-month time period. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And that's why I ended up going traveling and filling my time doing these adventures, hoping that an idea would come to me. It was actually while I was over in South America. I was traveling around on the buses, you know, these long distance, 24 hours, sat on a bus, just watching the countryside go by, and finally getting some time alone and the time for me to really think about what I wanted to do, not what my parents wanted me to do, not what my friends were doing, what I enjoyed doing. And that's where ideas started to swirl. And I found out about what my passions were, my interests, and that I liked travel. I liked adventure. I liked motivating, inspiring other women and girls. I saw a lot of sexism in the work that I was doing. But I think I'd always been, you know, sort of a very confident, loud, outgoing person. And so I probably handled it better than maybe some other women who maybe didn't have that same confidence as I did. And I wanted to help change that and empower other women. And it just slowly started to come together as Tough Girl Challenges. And when I first started, it was a blog. So, I'd write all these blog posts. Nobody read my blog posts. And the podcast sort of evolved naturally. It was about sort of 9 months later when a friend said to me, this, you know, a podcast is a great way to share these stories. And I got sucked into the world of podcasting when I was training for my different events. And I was just like, this is such an incredible format because you can hear the passion in people's voices and you get to hear their story. It's so, you can get so involved because their voice is inside your head. And that's how it sort of evolved, really.
That is an awesome journey. And obviously I'm sitting here on in my podcast, so I can obviously relate to that kind of gravitating towards the world of podcasting and all the amazing experiences you can have as a result and being able to connect with people like yourself. I do want to back up to, I always like to think about that listener out there, or maybe there's more than one, who is in that position you were in when you were at that finance job, right? So there's that moment. And by the way, I still have a day job. I'm thankful for the job that I have. I have some flexibility, so it allows me to do things like this podcast. But, you know, hey, I want to do stuff like what you're doing. So what was it? How long did it take for you to kind of gestate with that idea that, hey, wait a second, I think I want to quit. I'm not sure what I want to do, but I don't want to do this. For people who are out there who might be in the same position, maybe they're thinking about leaving their job, but they're not quite sure what's next.
I think it's really difficult because what I don't want to do is I don't want to be saying to everyone, you have to quit your job to be able to go and do this. For me, it was very much a personal choice in terms of just my happiness, that I was gray, I was miserable, who I was at work wasn't who I was outside of work, and my work was starting to take over my whole life. I'd love to be able to say that it was really cut and dried and it was a really sort of simple decision. It just sort of gradually evolved until it suddenly got to the point where I was just like, actually, I can't do this anymore for my own health, my own, you know, mental health and physical health. And it did just come to that point where actually I had to make the decision because I was so miserable doing what I was doing that I couldn't change myself anymore. And I'm a very positive person. So I'd have to psych myself up, you know, every Sunday when you get the Sunday blues, and I'd be like, no, come on, we're going to have a great week. We'll be really, really positive. And I just couldn't do it anymore. But it's not to say that it's right for everybody to quit their job and to leave. I mean, I wasn't married. I didn't have any dependents. I didn't have any children. I had savings. I was able to take the time off to really think about what I needed. I mean, looking back now, the one thing that I would possibly change would be if I could do it differently. I wish I would have started my side hustle, my blog and my podcast while I was still working. So I still had an income coming in, and then I didn't have that pressure of trying to, you know, make money after I'd spent my money, so that actually I could have grown and developed Tough Girl Challenges while I was still working. But, you know, that wasn't the right path for me, but it could be the right path for other people. And it's just finding out what you're really passionate about, what you're really motivated, and also, I suppose, what the definition of success means for you and how you want to live your life. So previously, like I mentioned, I was very financially driven, very money driven, whereas now for me, it's more about my happiness and, you know, adding value and giving back and making a difference in the world. That's what motivates me to do what I'm doing. And I think that's very different for everybody. And there's no right or wrong. It's just about working out what's going to fit into your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. On this show, I always try to bring up this theme of like, what's your hell yes? And by that, I mean, you know, what's that passion, that thing that makes you come alive? And when I say come alive, that comes from this quote by Howard Thurman, where he says, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And so it sounds like that's what you did. You were there, you know, you were maybe there was a period where you were like, well, you know, this is the right thing to do, I'm making good money and so forth and so on, but you realized it wasn't making you come alive and you weren't sure what that was, but you went out there while you were out there searching, you started to come across it. So that's great. And so now let's talk a little bit about, so you're out there traveling, that it's starting to develop, and then this idea. I also want to ask about this. So I had this thing with my podcast and calling it the Hell Yes Life Podcast. I had these voices come up that were like, who am I to say that this, you know, oh, Hell Yes Life, you know, like, am I really the Hell Yes Life guy? Did you have that with your Tough Girl Challenges? Like, who am I to say I'm a tough girl, or, you know, no?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I did think about, you know, I wanted my name to be like tough but and feminine and to do with challenge and action. And I thought, if the biggest one for me actually was actually when I had to name my Twitter handle, and it was @_tough_girl. And it became very real for me then that suddenly my identity is tied in with a tough girl. And sometimes for some people, certain words will trigger certain things. And I've had people, you know, who've emailed me saying, oh, you know, I'm not a tough girl, or I haven't done anything as tough as you. And, you know, half the time, I don't think what I've done is particularly tough. And sometimes you do feel, or, you know, I felt a bit like a fraud almost, like, you know, am I acting like somebody who I'm not? But actually, I think it's, you can be tough in so many different ways. And it doesn't have to be about the physical challenges, it can be about the mental challenges, it can just be about getting up every morning or getting dressed. That can be a tough challenge for some people. And it was nerve-wracking to name it like that. But I think as you grow and evolve and you go on this journey, you start to embrace it more and you probably become more comfortable. I definitely become more comfortable as time has gone on and I've put more of myself out there and I've allowed myself to be really authentic. But I think there's this place where you get to where you've actually got to be vulnerable and you've got to share, you know, the things that scare you and the fears that you have. And I certainly have them. You know, I have the fear of failure. Am I, you know, am I good enough? Am I going to be able to complete these challenges? But actually, for me to experience these fears and have these fears at the bottom of my stomach, I need to have these experiences so that I can get through them and then share what I've learned to help other women face their own fears. And yes, our fears are going to be different. So, you know, for me, going out to run a 5K isn't going to fill me with any sort of fear at all, or a half marathon or a marathon or anything like that, I will be absolutely fine. But I know for other women out there, to go out and run for a mile is a massive, massive psychological fear and a real physical challenge. And they will feel the same as I do when I decided to run across the Sahara Desert. But if I can help share the tips and the tricks that I've learned along the way, then hopefully they'll be able to complete those challenges. And once they've done one, they can go on and do another and they can grow and develop as they move forward.
Yeah, I love that, because I think, you know, there can be a tendency to look at people who have done amazing things like you've done and like other people that have been on my podcast and yours, and think, oh, you know, that's for special people who are able to do those sorts of things. But I like what you're saying there, that it's, you're really you're kind of connecting in with wherever people are at, you know? So maybe for some people it is that fight. Actually, for me, even, I was like, oh, I was thinking about doing a 5K. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should get myself up to do that.
Quickly say, I mean, on that, I speak to a lot of my listeners and get feedback from them. And people started to say to me, said, Sarah, you know, I love your podcast. I love what the women are doing, but I'm never going to go and climb Mount Everest. I'm never going to go swim the English Channel. I'm never going to run around a country. I do just want to, you know, to be healthy and to be active and get outside into the fresh air. And so one of the things I started this year was something called 7 Women, 7 Challenges, where I took 7 real women, 7 ordinary women, one who's studying for a PhD, another who's married and who's got children, and somebody who's in her 50s. So all different ages, different times of their life, doing different challenges. And we've actually followed them throughout this year. And we interview them every sort of 6 to 8 weeks and just find out how they're doing with their different challenges. One is going, you know, heading off, taking her family on a round the world trip. The other is going after running her first ultra. Another one woman wants to row around the coast of Great Britain. And that's been really empowering, because women can see everyday women just like them going out and doing these challenges, but being with them every single step of the way, so they can see behind the scenes about what they're doing and how they can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. So, and did those women, did they take on those challenges through working with you, or had they already said, okay, I'm going to do this ultra marathon, and then they had phoned in about it? In other words, yeah, I mean.
So I created like a close Facebook group for my listeners to come together, and there was about maybe 500 or 600 members, and I broached this topic with them, and, you know, did a poll, you know, would this be something that would be of interest? And everyone was so positive and excited. And about 80 women put themselves forward, and my message was very clear as well. I sort of ended up saying, by the way, if you're thinking, oh, my challenge isn't tough enough, or, you know, or I don't know if I could do this, then you're exactly the types of women that I want to have be involved in this. And then actually it was a very sort of democratic process. You know, everybody in the tribe voted on which, you know, challenge that they'd like to follow. And then I did the final selection just to make sure that we had variety in terms of the ages and the challenge. And for many people, they'd been inspired by listening to the podcast and thinking, okay, let's do this, let's give it a go. And they had these ideas, but they hadn't necessarily taken the first step, that first step to move them closer to achieving to it. But actually almost having that accountability from the Facebook group, having the accountability from me getting involved and saying, okay, well, we're going to be tracking you now, then suddenly it all became very, very real for them. But it's been amazing to follow their journey.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. That accountability factor and having support from a community, I think, makes all the difference. So it's great to see that you're doing that, and you have that Facebook group, and so that people can tap in for that kind of support. So let's talk a little bit about, you said you had started the podcast. So can you take us there a little bit? So you just started the podcast. I know you have Tough Girl Challenges going on, which sounds like, you know, kind of a separate thing, but of course related. How did that all sort of, you know, in the opening weeks and months, manifest?
Oh my goodness. Well, I started the podcast on Tuesday, the 4th of August, Tough Girl Tuesday. And I started with four episodes. And to be honest, I look back now and I do almost cringe, because I was such a newbie and I didn't even introduce myself. It took me about 4 episodes. I honestly didn't think anybody would listen. And a friend listened and she said, oh, Sarah, you realize you've never actually introduced yourself on your podcast. And I was like, no, that can't be right. I must have talked about my website and, you know, introduced myself. Nope, I basically just go straight into the interviews and that's it. So it was a really exciting time, but also really nerve-wracking putting yourself out there. And I think I've been on a journey as well, as while the podcast has been on the journey. And I think you can almost see how much I've improved, whether I've improved my interview skills or how much I've been willing to share about myself and the different challenges as the podcast has grown and continued. But it's been an incredible experience, just from the point of view of getting to speak to all these amazing women around the world and share their stories and just learn from them, learn their tips and their tricks and what drives them and the fears that they've had to overcome. You know, one woman that I interviewed, you know, she was scared of heights, and she's called Jo Bradford, and she went and climbed Mount Everest. But it's amazing to learn about what those steps were that she took. And it's another lady called Helene Neville. She was suffering from cancer, was told that she basically only had 6 months to live. She went off and ran a marathon, wrote books about it, ran around the continental United States of America, inspiring women as she went. And there's just so many incredible stories out there. So it's just been this incredible process. And for my 100th episode, which happened a couple of weeks ago, I managed to get Cheryl Strayed on, who talked all about Wild, which was phenomenal. She's been an idol of mine, going out and hiking the PCT, writing this incredible book, and obviously being turned into a movie. So it's been a really long journey, but it's and the journey's still going on.
Oh, that's great. So inspiring. And yeah, I was taking a look at some of the guests that you've had on, including Cheryl Strayed, and, you know, obviously a lot to offer your listeners there. I wanted to ask about a couple of your challenges. So how do you pronounce Marathon de Sable? Is that right?
Marathon de Sables. Which is French for Marathon of the Sands. And it's been named by the Discovery Channel as the world's toughest foot race. So it involves running 6 marathons in 6 days across the Sahara Desert. But it even more challenging, you have to carry everything you need on your back. So all your food, your tent is provided, but your tent is basically a black piece of sheeting, and you're staying on like a dirty carpet. Your water is rationed. So it's an incredibly physical and mental challenge, because you're running across the Sahara Desert. The temperatures are getting up to 40, 50 degrees. On one of the days, it's called the long day, which is 52 miles. And for me, the reason I decided to do this event was purely to, you know, what we're talking about earlier was, you know, getting outside your comfort zone. So for me, doing a 5K, a 10K, half marathon wasn't really going to challenge me. But did I feel the fear of heading out to the Sahara Desert to do this race? Absolutely. And it was an incredible experience to go through. And it takes you to incredibly dark places when you're over there pushing your body through these extreme limits, and also battling with your internal voice, you know, the doubts about whether you can do it or not. And it was very much for me, I suppose, as well, like a launch pad for tough girl challenges. Because if I'm going out to schools and talking the talk and saying, well, you've got, you know, go out and challenge yourself and push yourself, but I wasn't doing anything. I needed to do something big and challenging. And for me, it was the Marathon des Sables.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe you did that. That's amazing. I was just looking at, oh, what's this marathon? And then I looked at, what is this thing? So I'm going to ask you to take us through that time a little bit. So first of all, how did you end up deciding that, yes, this is what I want to do? Had you previously already done several marathons and this was just a logical next step, or how did you come upon this as your challenge? And maybe asking this question in relation to maybe there's somebody out there who's trying to figure out what their challenge is. How do you decide that?
Well, when I was working down in London, I obviously wasn't getting everything I needed from my job, and I needed something else. So I actually ran the London Marathon, and I did it once, and then I was like, oh, actually, this is great fun. And I ended up doing it every year for 5 years. And I remember going on a night out and speaking to some friends about the Marathon des Sables, and my face was just like, that is crazy. Why would anybody want to go and do that? It's such a ridiculous thing to do. I couldn't even imagine myself going out to do it. But that's when the seed got planted. And I started Tough Girl Challenges in 2014. And I remember it was coming up to September. I thought, oh, you know, should I sign up for this race? Should I do it? It's a very expensive race. And it was basically using up the last remaining funds that I had from working in banking. And so it was sort of like my gamble to do this. And, you know, everything was going into this race. But I ended up basically actually overtraining massively and thinking that I could do everything myself. So I was meant to do the race initially in 2015, in April 2015. But at Christmas before, I was actually bedbound with chronic fatigue, and I was severely anemic. My period had stopped. I was underweight. I couldn't stop eating. I had acne. My hair was falling out. I was in an absolute state. And the doctor basically said, Sarah, there's no way that you can go out and run this race. So 2015 was almost a wiped out year for me, because I was just so ill trying to recover and get better. But I actually started training again in sort of June and July, and broke it down into two stages, and started working with a personal trainer on my strength and conditioning. And when I first started working with him, what a 1 hour session would wipe me out, and that would just be doing gentle stretches. And so it was a very, very long process and long journey. I'd say it took me about 18 months. And for me, it wasn't actually about completing the marathon de Sables. For me, my challenge was I just wanted to get to the start line fit and healthy and ready to race the best that I could. And it, for me, it wasn't, when I say race, it was about completing the challenge and not competing. I wasn't going for, you know, a top spot. It was just getting round and doing it for the personal challenge. And I headed over to Australia. I was very fortunate. My brother lives over in Australia. So at the beginning of 2016, I headed out to Melbourne where, you know, incredible weather, 40 degrees. I was running 4 or 5 times a week down by the beach. It was just an incredible place to train. And then, yeah, April 2016, I got over to the Sahara Desert and I was strong. I was fit. I was in the best shape of my life, to be honest. And it was, yeah, it was an incredible, incredible 7 days.
So take us through those 7 days a little bit. Anyway, we don't. I'm sure you could probably write a whole book. Or have you written a book about this?
I think you did, right? Yeah, I have actually written a book about it. Well, there's about 1,200 competitors, and you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert, in the middle of nowhere, and the start line. Well, you come up to the start line, and they have this AC/DC music playing, Highway to Hell. There's helicopter. It's a great way to start. They have helicopters swooping down over you and you can feel the energy and the adrenaline. There's about 200 or 300 women, the rest are men. And then the countdown starts, you know, 10, 9, 8 and Highway to Hell going in the background. And then suddenly you are off and you're running across the Sahara Desert. And I'll just take you back to the first day. The first 3K was completely flat, quite hard sand. So very, very nice to run on. And then suddenly it turned into sand dunes and it was 15 kilometers of sand dunes. Now I was very fortunate. I was heat adapted. I'd been drinking lots and lots of water and I'd done my planning and preparation because obviously I've been planning to do this race since 2014 and other people maybe hadn't given the race enough respect that it deserved. And I could see people struggling, you know, as soon as they hit the sand dunes and you've got the sun reflecting off the sand into your face and your feet are sliding down. So you're taking one step up a sand dune and sliding back down and the exhaustion. I mean, I could even see like my arms starting to burn and I had a base tan. I was wearing like 50, you know, factor 50 on it. And I got to the first checkpoint and I've never seen anything like it. There was maybe about 60 people undercover, needing drips, needing medical attention. And it was, for me, it was a case of get in and get out and carry on because this is so tough that if I stop, I'm not going to make it. And there is cutoff points. So you have to do each stage in a certain amount of time. So the first stage might have been about 8 or 9 hours and about 100 people would have missed the cutoff and because they couldn't have completed it in that time. And it would have been like the highest dropout ever on a race on the first day. So what they actually did is they on the following day, they basically said, because of the high number of people who struggled, they're actually just going to give them all a time penalty and not let them drop out of the race on the first day. But it was truly fascinating to go through and to see the different terrain and to deal with the heat, but also to see how other people handled it. And my little shocker was that I was going through the sand dunes. I thought, okay, this is getting a tough section. I know what I'll do. I'll put my podcast on. I'll start listening to my podcast, the Adventure Sports podcast. I'll start listening to that and listen to the first episode. And I thought, oh, this is great. I've got about 15 hours. This is going to keep me entertained. Try to listen to the next episode. No, I basically only recorded one podcast episode, which I ended up listening to for like the next, you know, 6 hours. But it is a race like no other. And I think if you hadn't prepared properly, both mentally and physically, then you would, you know, you wouldn't complete the race.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, Helios lifers out there listening, if you want to hear even more or, you know, learn more about Sarah's journey with this marathon, she has a book on her website. Is that right? To read more about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tough Girl Sahara Challenge. And you can also go and look at my feet as well. If you want to go see, my feet aren't actually that bad, but people end up losing like the sole of their feet. So if you want to see something really disgusting, just Google Marathon de Sables feet and you'll just see the pain that people suffer through.
Oh, I'm going to have to decide whether I want to do that after we're done here. Yeah. Okay. So now let's come up to your current challenge. This is exciting because by the time this airs, you will already be on your way, but you are, I saw on your website, you got about 11 days before you hit the road to hiking the Appalachian Trail. Tell us about this challenge. And again, how did you decide to choose this?
Well, I think it all started when I initially started Tough Girl Challenges. I ended up going onto Pinterest and started to think about everything that I wanted to do in the world. You know, the mountains I wanted to climb, the countries I wanted to visit, the walks I wanted to do, the races I want to race. And the Appalachian Trail was on there. I'd never actually heard about the three big trails in America. So, you know, the Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Trail Divide, and then the Appalachian Trail. And I just heard about it. And I remember thinking back last year in November, wouldn't it be amazing if I could go and through hike the Appalachian Trail? And I started doing my research and it was saying, you know, most people take on average 5 to 6 months to through hike the trail. And I just couldn't see how I could possibly get that amount of time off and, you know, preload my podcast and let my blog run and, you know, and afford to take that much time off. And I'm actually heading back to university in October to go and do my master's. So I knew I had to finish in September. And I started thinking about it and I thought, well, I know without a doubt that I can through hike the trail in 5 or 6 months. That's not an issue. But for me, I wondered, well, how can I make it more challenging and how can I fit it into my life? How can I make this work for me? And suddenly I heard about another guy who through hiked the trail in 100 days, and he's called Bigfoot. And I started watching a few of his videos and I interviewed another girl called Dixie who through hiked the Appalachian Trail. And it slowly started to evolve. And I had this idea and I wrote it down. And then I think I told maybe like one person, and then it was two, then it was three. Then suddenly I was down in London getting my visa for America. Then I bought my flight to Atlanta. And then suddenly it all became very, very real that I'm going to be starting on the 3rd of June. I've given myself 100 days. I'm going to finish it on my birthday. I'm not a big birthday person. And I really hate my birthday. And I thought, well, I need to get over that. So if I can finish the Appalachian Trail on my birthday, then it's actually not about my birthday anymore. It's about the challenge. And it just suddenly all fitted together. It's like, okay. And you know, for 100 days, I've preloaded all of my podcasts. So there's going to be the podcast coming out every single week. It gave me enough time to get everything ready. It gave me enough time to save money. It gave me enough time to get the equipment together. And now I'm at that place where, oh my goodness, I am actually going to be doing this and it's real and I'm going to be out there hiking 2,190 miles in 100 days and it is going to be the challenge of a lifetime.
Oh yeah, go for it, Sarah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes. You're living a hell yes life. And you are going to be, I was watching a YouTube video where you're talking about preparing for this. You're going to be kind of reporting in from the trail. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got two things I'm going to be doing, or two things that I really want to do. And the first is vlogging. So I've got a friend, an amazing guy called Flynn, who's going to be editing my video. So I'm going to be filming some awesome footage from, you know, what my days like, what it's like to hike it, send it to him to upload it and create these incredible videos for me. Then the second thing that I want to do is to interview women that I meet along, on the Appalachian Trail and just ask them, you know, 5 or 6 quick questions, you know, what's their name? Where are they hiking? What do they love about the outdoors? What advice and tips do they have for other women who want to do it? And almost create this, you know, this mini series of, you know, women of the Appalachian Trail in 2017. And yeah, that's my plan really, to be able to share my journey, because I know not everybody can do what I'm doing, but why should it stop them almost living through me and, you know, imagining what it is going to be like being in the tent and, you know, walking these incredible distances every day. And also the highlights that I'm going to have, but also the challenges that I'm going to face and the struggles that I'm going to face and how I can learn from it and how I can share that knowledge with other people to help them with their own personal challenges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like what you're saying there, and that kind of not hiding that part of it. You know, the challenges you run into and what you do to overcome those challenges. I think that's really important to share that as well. That is awesome. So let's see. Let's just round things out. I'd like to imagine again the person out there listening. Maybe it's a woman, maybe it's a man, but maybe they are thinking about, you know, some challenge that they want to do. Maybe it's not the Marathon de Saab or the, you know, the Appalachian Trail, but maybe it's something, right? What is there any action? Any like one action you could recommend that somebody take to at least kind of get started with that hell yes thing?
Oh, hell yes. Oh, I've got too fat. I've got so much stuff I could say. But do you know where it all starts for me and where it comes real? Is getting a piece of paper and a pen, a marker pen, a pencil, a crayon, whatever you've got handy, and writing it down. Writing down your goals, your ambitions, your dreams. putting it down on paper, it makes it become real. Instead of it having floating around your mind thinking, oh, you know, should I go and do that 5K? Should I visit that country? Put it down, write it down on a piece of paper and put it somewhere where you can see it. And you can even take that to the next level. I create a vision board. So I've got a visual representation of what I want to do and what I want to achieve with my life. But if you can write down your goal, then things start happening and you start thinking about it more and things start to evolve and suddenly you'll end up doing it. If it's something that you know makes you go hell yeah and you're passionate about and inspired about, write it down on a piece of paper.
That's a great suggestion. And it reminds me of a question that I usually ask our guests. And so thanks for reminding me of this. You know, you've done so many great things. You're about to go do another amazing adventure. But when you look forward to the future, do you have a really big vision for your Hell Yes life? Something I like to call your cringeworthy vision, a vision that's so big it makes you cringe to think about sharing it with people. And now I'm giving you an opportunity to do so.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. And one of the things that I think is almost ridiculous when I first started my company is I actually created like a 200-page business plan. And when I say business plan, it's more like a life plan. It's everything that I want to do. It's how I want to live my life. It's the type of people that I want to spend time with. And it has evolved and it has changed. So I'm very passionate about women and girls. I'm going back to study my master's and in women and gender to get my master's. You know, I do also think about, you know, if I enjoy it, maybe should I continue on and get my PhD? Is that a little bit crazy? I want to continue doing the different challenges. So you can do something called the Triple Crown. So you have the Appalachian Trail, the Continental Trail Divide, and the PCT. I'd love to go back and get my dive master qualification. I want to be a digital nomad. I want to, you know, travel the world. I really want to give back. I want to make real change. I want to see the Tough Girl podcast, you know, go out to over a million women around the world. I want to just live my life on my terms. And I did actually write a blog post, which you can go back and read, which is the first blog post I ever wrote on my blog, which is from May 2014, which basically sets out what I want from my life and the impact that I want to have on other people.
Awesome. And yeah, I really agree with that. I have a vision that I have written down and read every morning. And yeah, I mean, I'm reading it and it's like, wait, oh, that's starting to happen. Wait, that's happening. Oh, that already happened. Those things do start to manifest when you put it out there to the universe. And yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I went to Web Summit in November, which is this big sort of tech conference. And I got a complimentary ticket and they asked you to write a bio about who you are. And I remember writing on this bio, worked in finance, quit my job, blah, 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 blah. But the ending of it was, I want to, in 2017, I want to go back to university to get my master's. I want to through hike the Appalachian Trail. And I remember sharing it on Instagram, but it was a lot of writing. It was on a pink background with black writing on. There was a lot of writing. So I put it out there, but I didn't put it out there, if that makes sense, because I was still a little bit apprehensive. You know, what are people going to say? How are they going to judge me? But it's amazing to think that that's when I felt comfortable enough or confident enough to share how I wanted my life to be. And I look back now and I think, oh my goodness, like this year, I am living my life exactly as I planned it out, how I thought it would go, you know, first three, four months working to get everything ready, next heading off June till September to through hike the Appalachian Trail, coming back home, starting my master's in October, which will take me through to August 2018. And it's just incredible that my year is unfolding exactly as I planned it to be.
Awesome. You have you really put together a Hell Yes life for yourself here, Sarah. It's
Hell
great
yes.
to hear. So, just to round things out, tell us where on the internet we can find you.
Best place to go and all the information in there is toughgirlchallenges.com, and there's links to the podcast, my blog, the books I've written. There's also links to like my countdown clock and various videos that I've put on online from, you know, what gear I'm taking to the Appalachian Trail and more reasons about doing the challenge.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll have links in the show notes so you can get their Hell Yes lifers. And like I said, by the time this airs, you will be, you know, probably, you know, 20 or so days into your trip. So it'll be exciting to see where you're at, and we'll be tracking your journey. So Sarah, to close out our time together, I always like to say hell yes on the count of three with my guests. Are you ready to do that?
Ready.
Okay. One, two, three. Hell yes. All right, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.